Two Sides of a Trick Coin, a One Piece fan fiction, written by Estelle Rocca, read by God of Laundry Baskets. Summary. Everyone assumes Zoro and Luffy have a psychic connection. They don't, and they really hate it when they finally do. Sometimes, all you need to do is see another person to know them. No one knows you like I do. No one knows what we've been through. Like the rebel kids in school, we don't care. Nami watches as Zoro and Luffy work together to bring down the pirates who were stupid enough to think they could succeed where Buggy hadn't. It's like they're telepathically connected. Zoro spins back, his swords flashing, and Luffy's there for him to, quite literally, bounce off of. Luffy sends himself charging into a group of pirates, and Zoro's there as the confused fighters try to pick themselves up, smashing the hilts of his swords against heads, opening bleeding lines on their faces. They didn't talk about not killing these people, but neither Luffy nor Zoro uses killing force. They just humiliate them and dump them into the water, letting them swim back to their own boat. What the hell? Nami blurts, setting down her staff and studying the two of them. Have you two worked together before?
No.
Luffy and Zoro say in unison. Huh. Nami says, the skepticism clear in her voice. Fought each other? You targeted him before, Mr. Big Shot Bounty Hunter? Luffy grins at Zoro. I don't think he has. I would remember such a unique fighter. There's nothing sexual about the grin. It's absolutely guileless. More guileless than Nami would have thought possible. And she knows how foolish people can be. That's how she's going to save her world, after all. Off the back of foolish people. Why would I go after someone who doesn't have a bounty? Zoro asks, with exaggerated patience. Nami shakes her head. You know what? Never mind. It doesn't matter after all. Whatever bond there is between Zoro and Luffy, it's either going to survive or not. But it won't matter to her. She's not going to be here long enough for it to matter. What are you making? Luffy asks Usopp, dropping down out of the rigging to sit next to him without warning. Usopp screams and jumps back, scattering some of his carefully laid out ingredients. He groans as he sees the mess he's made of his work area. He really should have done this down in his cabin, but the Going Merry's been seeing some rough seas, and the fact that they apparently have Luffy's military family chasing them has made him more nervous still. He'd thought having some fresh air to work in would be useful. Luffy blinks at him, clearly not understanding what just happened. Sorry, man. Usopp says before remembering he doesn't have anything to be sorry for. You startled me. Why? Luffy asks. Because, you know what? doesn't matter. Usopp decides it would be a definite losing battle to try explaining to Luffy that most people aren't used to having agile crewmates just drop out of the sky. You didn't answer my question, Luffy says with a pout, poking his finger into some of the green carpacin powder Usopp spilled, and then sticking his finger in his mouth. What are you making? He says around his finger. Usopp stares at his captain for a second longer than he should, and then with a yell, he pulls Luffy's hand from his mouth. Don't eat that! It's explosive! Must be why it's making my mouth all tingly, Luffy says, running his tongue around his mouth and then stretching his jaw in a way that someone without gum gum fruit powers would not be able to do. Look, none of this stuff is edible. It's either explosive or poisonous or both. I'm trying to make some better bombs for my slingshot. Usopp pantomimes, shooting at an enemy. Oh, that's really cool, Luffy considers. I should probably think of some new techniques, too. His eyes wander over the deck, landing on Zoro. Luffy doesn't even say anything. He just launches himself at Zoro, moving fast and sure. Zoro holds out an arm, muscles taut under his white shirt. Grabbing Zoro's arm, Luffy wraps around him, coming to perch with his feet on top of Zoro's arm and his hands underneath. He pulls back, stretching himself, making himself into a slingshot. And then he launches forward, only the aft sail keeping him from sailing right over the edge of the Going Merry and down into the depths. Usopp stares at Zoro. You've practiced that before. You must have. Zoro stares blandly back. Haven't done anything like that before. But then, how did you... Usopp moves closer to the swordsman. Did he describe to you what he'd want to do? Did you at least talk about it? Zoro tilts his head. Why would we talk about something like that? Because it was really fucking cool and also looked really difficult and rehearsed and... Usopp turns to the ship's wheel. Nami, you saw that right. It had to be rehearsed. I saw it. Nami flicks a glance between Luffy, who apparently decided to climb to the top of the mast, and Zoro. I also believe that it wasn't practiced. What? Do you guys have some kind of psychic link? Usopp crosses his arms, studying Zoro. Of course not, Zoro says with growing impatience. That would be ridiculous. Less ridiculous than the rest of our lives, Usopp mutters. But then how? You should be able to figure it out, too. The way Luffy moves, the way he shifts his weight, what he's looking at. It's really obvious what he's going to do every time, isn't it? Zoro says, with a tilt of his head, studying Luffy with an expression that is not soft, but softer. More open than Usopp thinks he's seen the swordsman be at any other time. Oh, well, when you put it like that... Usopp looks up at Luffy. Hey, Captain, we should come up with some new moves, too. Sure, Luffy says, and in a flash, he's back down on the deck. Usopp knows he can't possibly hold Luffy on his arm like Zoro did. He's strong, but he's not whatever Zoro is. Turning stubbornness into a good approximation of an immovable object, he still thinks he could hold him successfully on his shoulders. He is wrong, and they end up in a tangled ball of limbs. Luffy's laughing, though, and Usopp joins him a second later. Whatever Zoro and Luffy have is special. But that doesn't mean Luffy isn't eager to fold the rest of the crew into whatever shenanigans they're dreaming of. Zoro, move! Sanji yells, but Zoro doesn't move. He stands perfectly still while the fishman bears down on him, only raising his sword at the last moment to deflect what could have been a lethal blow so that it slices through the stitches from where Mihawk cut him, unleashing a new torrent of crimson. Nami is going to be so pissed. This is the third time they've had to redo the stitches. And though these fishmen are strong, they're the remnants of Arlong's army, a bunch of idiots pulled together by a bigger idiot to give them a hard time before they reach the Grand Line. They shouldn't be... And then Luffy is behind the fishman, has his arms wrapped around the man's head, is twisting him, turning him, is hesitating, staring into the fishman's suddenly frightened expression. Zoro doesn't hesitate. Between one breath and the next, his last remaining sword, Wado Ichimonji, digs through the fishman's back, cleanly, through the ribs and the spine, and straight through his heart. Luffy's eyes meet Zoro's. An entire conversation that Sanji can't parse takes place in less than a second. "Get off my ship," Luffy says, voice quiet but caring, despite the din of battle. "Everyone who is off my ship in the next 30 seconds gets to live. Everyone else I let Zoro play with." And Zoro smiles. There's something feral in that smile. Something that makes the hairs on Sanji's arms stand on end. He'd thought he was getting a feel for this crew that he'd joined. Nami is the thief with a heart of gold. The woman betrayed by the world who still wants to save what she can. Usopp is the liar. The man who tells every story but the true one, and somehow, in doing so, tells a bigger truth that needs telling. Luffy is a captain, the dreamer, the boy who doesn't know how to give up. And Zoro is Luffy's right hand, his loyal sidekick, someone with too big an ego and too small a mind. The man currently digging his sword deeper and deeper into an already dead man's heart doesn't look like Zoro. He looks like the demon that Sanji's heard others refer to him as. But he still watches Luffy with eyes that don't blink, with utter devotion and trust. The fishmen have apparently had their fill of death and fighting, because they turn, diving over the edge of the ship. Sanji worries for a moment that they'll try to sabotage the ship, but Usopp and Nami apparently had the same thought, because they're already at the rails, harpoons in hand. Zoro pulls his sword free and wipes the blood off on the fishman's wet clothes. Then he hefts the body and tosses it over the edge of the ship and into the already hungry sea. "Well done," Luffy says, laying a hand on Zoro's bleeding arm. "You could have taken care of him before I got there." "I knew you'd be there in a moment, and it'd work better this way." Zoro's lips twitch into a smile, and the demon is gone, as though he never existed. "You're the captain, after all." Sanji stands awkwardly off to the side, wanting to help, uncertain if his intrusion in this moment will be welcome. Luffy looks over, and his smile is bright and cheerful as ever. "Help me take care of Zoro's wound again?" Zoro groans. "I don't need..." He doesn't even finish his sentence, though, going still and quiet as Luffy glares at him. The whole crew helps get Zoro patched up again. Usopp cleaning and fire sterilizing the needle, Nami sewing, Luffy and Sanji helping keep Zoro still. And Sanji wonders exactly how Zoro knew that Luffy would be there, that Luffy would be able to turn the tide so swiftly, so dramatically. That Luffy would want the fishman's leader dead, would hesitate to do the deed himself. Have you two? Sanji asks later, when Zoro's in the kitchen stealing a drink in place of painkillers he would never admit he needs. Did you talk about any of what happened before it did? Zoro gives him a look that says clearly he thinks Sanji's out of his mind. How would we talk about something before it happened? He drains half his glass of whiskey. Didn't talk after either. Why would we? Sanji considers debating, but decides it wouldn't be worth it. Let Zoro heal. Let whatever Zoro and Luffy have going on between them come to fruition in its own time. So long as they're on the same side, Sanji doesn't see any need to pick at what's clearly working. Luffy and Zoro work together as usual. Zoro moving at just the right moment to redirect Luffy's momentum directly into the Devil Fruit user they've been fighting for the last 3 minutes. This was supposed to be an easy mission. They'd stop on the island, replenish their food stores, and move on. Sanji would be happy the kitchen got restocked. Nami would be happy to get to confirm her navigational headings. Usopp would be happy to tell people tales, and they'd move on. Instead, they've ended up fighting this idiot of a kid who can't be older than 15 and seems intent on making their lives miserable just because he can. You'll be sorry about this, the boy yells. I might not have a name for myself yet, but I will. As soon as I bring you lot in, I'll be the biggest name in town. Luffy frowns at the boy. I don't understand why you're doing this. I'll be respected, the boy yells, clapping his hands together, causing the two trees he touched earlier in the fight to slam together. Both Luffy and Zoro dodge easily. I think you'll be able to get respect, Luffy starts and doesn't dodge back fast enough to keep the boy from touching him. Zoro darts forward, Wado Ichimonji at the ready. If he just cuts the boy's hand off, then the kid won't be able to touch anything else, and Luffy will be... Except Luffy's hand wraps around Zoro's wrist, and Zoro freezes. The idiot boy with more power than brains laughs, clapping his hands together. Bond! He chortles. Bond! Zoro expects to be physically drawn to Luffy, like the trees have been drawn to each other. Instead, there's an instant cacophony in his mind, an overlay of a dozen other thoughts and emotions and sensations that are not his. Zoro screams. He doesn't intend to. It really shouldn't be so terrible. It's really not so terrible if he can focus on the sensations. It's Luffy. It's bright, eager, energetic Luffy, except instead of being contained in a body and face that Zoro can read easily, it's inside Zoro's head, draping across Zoro's thoughts, interrupting Zoro's own well-trained reactions. Luffy stares at Zoro, and there's so much guilt and grief in that look, in Zoro's head. So much determination that Zoro won't be hurt again, that this will end, that they'll figure this out, that Zoro shouldn't ever scream like this, that... Zoro swings wildly at the boy, knowing even as he does that he's going to miss. He has finesse and fine control, determination and purposefully applied strength. He understands his own body, and he reads the bodies of others. He does not fight like a beaten bear. Except for now, apparently. Luffy leaps away, and the pressure in Zoro's head redoubles. Sorry, sorry, pumps through Luffy's every thought. Trying, trying. And that Zoro understands. Luffy is always trying, always searching for a way to get whatever it is that Luffy has decided he wants at any moment in time. Zoro loves that about him. Zoro loves everything about him. Zoro loves the way Luffy burns, the way he acts, the way he cares, the way he doesn't care, the way Luffy chooses his people and his pleasure over any foolish rules of their broken world. Luffy's lips twitch up into a smile, and he launches himself at the boy. All Luffy has to do is catch the boy under the jaw. Pressure at a 17-degree angle, and the trachea will collapse. A 24-degree angle, and the carotids will be pinched. With just 500 PSI or so, which Luffy can easily manage, there will be... Luffy rears back as though bitten, his eyes wide with horror as he looks at Zoro. He didn't want to kill this kid. He's just a kid. Granted, he's only a few years younger than Luffy, but at their age, things like that matter. He's angry and he's desperate and he wants to prove himself, and Luffy doesn't want to seriously hurt him. Zoro didn't say they had to, just that they could, just that... The boy punches Luffy in the side of the head, and Zoro lunges forward, drawing blood from the boy's shoulder. Deeper than he intended. His hands clench too tight because Luffy's fear-denial confusion is messing with his grip, and he can't fight like this. Neither of them can fight like this. Thankfully, they don't have to. Usopp gets the boy square in the face with a bomb that turns his face blue and causes the boy to cough and sputter. Nami beats him over the head with her staff, and Sanji grabs the stunned boy and dunks him thoroughly into the ocean. The sudden breaking of the connection between them causes Zoro to stagger almost as much as the creation of it had. He has to breathe out slowly, carefully, trying not to let himself dissolve into panting distress. Luffy studies him for a handful of long seconds, and then he's running. Zoro should chase after him. He knows that set to Luffy's shoulders. Knows that he's hurting and he'll need comfort. It still takes Zoro a few seconds to get his feet to move, and he hopes that Luffy will forgive him for it. Luffy climbs up into the rigging, closing his eyes, feeling the wind blow cold against his cheeks. It's just the wind. He's not crying. He's not upset about this stupid fight on this stupid island. He's not shaking. Why would he be shaking? Everyone thinks he and Zoro have a psychic connection anyway, just because they did for a few minutes, and it was absolutely awful. Luffy wraps himself around the main mast, enjoying twisting his body in ways it wouldn't have been able to go before he ate the gum gum fruit. Zoro follows him, the swordsman climbing carefully up until he's settled a few feet below Luffy. He doesn't say anything. He just sits there, watching. "I'm sorry," Luffy finally says. "It was my fault. If I hadn't gotten in the way, if I hadn't let him touch you..." "It's all right," Zoro answers. And Luffy's quite certain he means it. He was screaming not 15 minutes ago, but things like that don't matter to Zoro. What matters is that they won, that they have a chance to learn from this and move forward. "I didn't want you to get hurt," Luffy blurts, though he knows that Zoro knows that. Has felt how very much Zoro trusts him. And how very much Zoro does not trust the rest of the world. Is ready to fight and kill the world before it has an opportunity to do the same to him. "I never want you to get hurt again," Luffy whispers. And Zoro closes the distance between them, arranging himself so that he can wrap one arm around Luffy's chest. His heart is a steady drumbeat against Luffy's back, his body warm and solid. "It wasn't because of you," Zoro finally says. His words a rumble through both their bodies. "I know myself. I know my body. I've got my reactions down to an instinctive level. I would have hated suddenly having anyone's thoughts in my head." "It was pretty weird," Luffy draws in a long, slow breath. "The way you fight, the decisions you make." Being the best swordsman in the world isn't a pretty thing, Zoro says in a low voice, only for Luffy's ears. Swords cut. They kill far more easily than they disable. But the best swordsmen, the truly great ones, they only kill what they intend to. I don't like killing, Luffy admits. I don't mind the fighting. I've always had to fight, and it can be fun. But people actually getting really hurt, people dying? Luffy shudders. I don't like that. I don't think anyone should, Zoro says simply. And Luffy tries to remember if there had been pleasure under the simple analysis of how to take apart a humanoid body. We should go back down to the others, Luffy suggested after another few seconds. When you're ready, Zoro says. Luffy nods, tilts his head back, basking in the sunlight and the feel of his first mate. They don't need to be connected to be in perfect harmony. And Luffy is very glad of that fact.
Report on our recent encounter with the Straw Hat Pirates. We came upon the Straw Hats shortly before they entered the Grand Line. They are a motley crew, as reported. None of their fighting styles should be the least bit compatible, but somehow they pull everything together into what seems to be a strategic work of art. Monkey D. Luffy and Roronoa Zoro seem to be the most dangerous of the group, especially when together. They seem to have some sort of psychic bond between the two of them. When Luffy was in danger, Zoro was immediately here. When Zoro was pressed, Luffy literally threw himself across the beach to get to his side. When Captain Flowers yelled at Zoro that the two pirates have an unnatural connection, both Luffy and Zoro responded with a surprisingly loud, "No." Then they proceeded to humiliate Flowers in front of his men, through repeated and, quite frankly, remarkable acts of skill, moving in concert, assisting each other in performing movements that neither of them could have performed on their own. There are several hypotheses that have been put forth. 1. Monkey D. Luffy and Roronoa Zoro have known each other for far longer than they would care to admit. 2. Monkey D. Luffy and Roronoa Zoro have a psychic connection between them. 3. Our teaching of recruits has become abysmal to the point that we are incapable of holding our own against them. 4. There is nothing strange about Zoro and Luffy's relationship, but they are still able to perform these impressive feats. Given what I have seen, I am in favor of option 1, but it is impossible to know without further study. We are still on the Straw Hat's trail and will keep you informed of our progress. Yours, Captain Teleteer.
The end. Thank you for listening.
We were talking to the sunset, throwing dreams against the wall. I know none of them are stuck yet, but I bet it on you, honey. Oh, I would risk it all. These days, these nights, changing my mind is set on you. I'm not afraid to say it, to say it's true. Every time.